On Thursday, Apple released a press release, a report conducted by the analysis group on the success of third-party apps on its App Store. Scrolling through the report, guys, I was so fucking surprised when I went through the report, because apparently, even if the apps are like removing themselves from the App Store, no, it's not really affecting Apple's revenue. Which is what got things to my attention, because how is it even possible that if a major part of the apps are being removed from the App Store, the revenue is not being affected on a single accent, right? You can't help but wonder about it, considering how Apple is getting more than 30% of the revenue that these apps are earning as a commission model. And this is exactly what we're going to be talking about in today's episode, and I can't wait to share it with you guys. So let's not waste any more time and just dive right into it. Hello and welcome to the iGeeks Blog Show. I'm your host, Harshanki. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about how apps being removed from the App Store is not really affecting Apple as a company on the whole. Is it though? Or is it no? You're going to know about it by the end of the episode. But before we dig deeper into the details and how it came out and why Apple was forced to release a freaking report on it, don't forget to connect with us on our social media channels. I've attached the links in the description below. And if you want to connect with me, Harshanki with an extra eye on Instagram. You know where to find me already. I don't have to share it with you guys. So yeah, coming back to today's topic. On Thursday, Apple released a press release and a report conducted by the analysis group on the success of third-party apps on its App Store. Scrolling through the report, I found some apps that look familiar and some were not. So what exactly are these apps? Also, why would anyone use them over one of Apple's preferred apps or Apple's developed apps or the Apple's default apps, you know what I mean? Why have they become so freaking popular? Let's take a closer look at some of these popular third-party apps used on iPhones within the United States. Now, I know and I really apologize because a lot of my listeners are not from the United States. But trust me, you guys, this is a very important episode for you, because if it has, if the infection is spreading to the United States, there's a high possibility it's coming out for you. And it's not that far away from you. It's almost there. So be very, very, very attentive towards the information that I'm going to share with you guys. Apple could finally allow third-party app stores and sideloading apps on iPhone. The change could come into effect as soon as the next year with iOS 17's release. But how much is it going to affect Apple's revenue? And I have to credit one of the tech roasters. You know, I'm not much of an Instagram person, but so the other day I was scrolling randomly through Instagram and I stumbled across this bunch of people who have a very amazing podcast. And they just roast Apple techies, okay? So this person, this roaster, was interviewing an Apple engineer who helped Apple save 60K of revenue a year. And the person goes like, they could have just saved that amount of revenue by firing the person who worked his ass off to get to that place. And Apple, in fact, is such a huge company. Like, it's a trillion, it's a multi-trillion dollar company at this point of time. So how is it that a bunch of popular apps, if removed from the App Store, are going to affect its revenue on the whole? You cannot help but wonder about things like this, right? Like, is it really going to affect them? See, to be very honest with you, and if you ask my opinion about it, it is going to affect them on a bigger scale, because this is passive revenue for Apple as a company. Imagine you're being paid 30% of every app purchase you've made. Whether you're a hardcore gamer who is into like buying accessories for your character or decorating your car a little bit more, or you're playing one of those home decor games where you gotta buy the wallpapers for a little extra money or things like that. So for anything and everything that you do, every dollar spent on any of the games or apps you've downloaded, Apple gets 30% of its share. And after Elon Musk tweeted about it, so this has been like a very huge problem for the past few years, but it has come to media attention and to common public like us, it has come to our attention, especially after Elon Musk tweeted about it, because to be honest, 10 to 15% of commission is something that is understandable because you're going to need that kind of money to like keep your servers alive or, you know, have a smoother experience. But 30% is just looting. That is what I feel. Anyway, coming back to the topic, I know I get a little too distracted at times, but you can't help but wonder about these things and like, you know, try to dig a little deeper and find out the hidden meaning behind it. Yeah, Harshanki, I know you have read a lot about it, but let's just get back to the topic and try to understand what exactly the situation here. So, I was reading this report where the analyst at Morgan Stanley believed that the third-party app stores on the iPhone would have a very limited risk to both the Apple App Store revenue and the company's overall revenue. According to the Morgan Stanley employees, less than 30% of iPhone owners are extremely likely to purchase a mobile app directly from a developer's website instead of the App Store. I mean, I kind of agree to this because now I'm at a stage in life where if anything is available on the App Store, I'll just end up buying from the App Store. But there was a time in life where I was very keen on using Telegram and uTorrent and like, you know, finding alternatives so that I didn't have to pay a couple of dollars a month as the app's transactional fees. In fact, if I'm not oversharing at this point, I don't have a Spotify premium account, but I don't really pay a single dollar. And I've never heard an ad for the past 4 or 5 years. And I'm a person who's been using Spotify for the past 10 years or probably more than that. See, if you're an Indian listening to this episode now, there's a high possibility you strongly relate to this because we just try to save as much money as possible. And the Indian in me just doesn't agree to spending money on app purchases. Like, why would I pay $10 a month for something that I can probably spend an hour or so to get it for free, right? And this is what Morgan Stanley is also agreeing to at a certain point of time. I mean, it's what the report says. So, quoting the exact words, they add that most of the iPhone users would continue to use the official App Store for app downloads, even if they had the option of downloading from other sources. This is because the App Store offers a high level of security. Because we all know how difficult it is to have an iOS version of an app out there, right? Like, it's not that easy. If you've recently shifted from an Android to an iPhone, or if you are a dedicated, a loyal member of the Apple versus Android or the iOS versus Android crib, you'd know any and every app can be live on the Google App Store, but it takes a lot of sweat and hard work to get your app live on the Apple App Store. Because they also have very hardcore measures of offering centralization and convenience that the users value, right? Even in a worst case scenario, the impact of alternative app stores and Apple's revenues would likely to be limited. The research note estimates that if such app stores were allowed in Europe, they would result in a 4% reduction in Apple services revenue and a 1% reduction in total revenue. If alternative app stores were available globally, the impact on revenue would increase to a 9% reduction in services revenue and around a 2% reduction in the total revenue. Now, see, when you talk about the popular online reading apps, no, we have ReAddict, we have Dream, we have Wattpad. These are all online social reading platforms. And each of these apps connects readers and writers to the original pieces. Now, the readers can support their famous writers through paid stories, writing contests, and more. Unlike the audio apps like Audible, Kindle, and Apple Books, they're all places for indie authors to share their work. Now, Audible is Amazon's own audiobook and the podcast service. For a monthly subscription, users will have access to one of the largest catalogs of audiobooks out there. Kindle is another app from Amazon. It is a retail giant's selection of ebooks. Now, there are subscription plans like Kindle Unlimited and Prime Reading, but neither are required to use the service. Ebooks can be purchased individually as well. Libby and Hoopla are reading apps that allow users to borrow ebooks, audiobooks, magazines, and more using the local library card. In addition to the reading material, you can also rent movies, music, and TVs through Hoopla. Okay, here's a fun fact, okay? And please, please, please promise me that you're not going to laugh on this, but Apple could still receive commission on third-party app store purchases. Moreover, in reality, the impact could even be minimal, you know. Like, the analysts believe that Apple would still receive a commission on purchases made through third-party app stores. Like, for example, in the Netherlands, the company is currently charging a 3% commission, which is way lesser than the global 30% commission rate that they have going on dating apps that use a third-party payment system. Yeah, I know this is quite funny, but if you're in Netherlands listening to this episode, and if you have a premium Bumble or a Tinder membership or something, know that Apple is getting just 3% of whatever you're paying rather than the 30% that the rest of the people like us are paying. Wow, did I overshare again too much? Yeah, guys, please don't try finding me on a dating app. I'm going to stop the discussion right there. Shanky, you have to learn how to stop oversharing at some point in life. On the whole, it remains to be seen whether Apple will ultimately decide to allow alternative app store on its devices. But it also seems that the financial impact of such a change would be relatively modest. Talk about the music apps, for instance. SiriusXM, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn Radio. They let you stream popular music. They let you stream popular podcasts. And even news. Also the radio stations, right? Boy, I love tuning into online radio station apps because, see, I love listening to music. I have different playlists for different moods, okay? I can listen to music at any time of the day. But what happens is when you're tuning into a live radio, no? You have a human interacting with you at the other side. So it just feels a little more personalized rather than just listening to your music on Spotify. This is probably another reason you're listening to us or you're listening to me talking about Apple App Store and the revenue, right? This is one of the reasons you listen to a podcast because you can relate to the conversation that we're having or you could possibly relate to the person who's talking to you, not just me. I know you guys love me and I appreciate you every time. You have no idea how much I love you for tuning to the iGeeks Blog Show. And you can listen to podcasts when you're driving or you're working out at the gym or you're just chilling by yourself in the room. Similarly, radio does give you that kind of experience, right? Because you have a really good music playing to yourself and then you have this beautiful, melodious, very aesthetic voice talking to you from the other side. And there are apps for that. Like, you don't really have to have I don't even remember what those were called. Walkman, yeah. You don't need to have Walkman anymore, right? Because you have the apps to take care of that stuff. So TuneIn also has a sports and a news play slide with the options to stream live from CNN, Fox, MSNBC. Additionally, Amazon Prime members get a discount on a subscription to TuneIn Live for their Alexa services. Music Market itself as a simple streaming platform. You can bookmark and organize music videos, create playlists, share music with friends, and stream onto any AirPlay-enabled device. Now, the app is free, but with a paid subscription, you can remove the ads. AudioMac, on the other hand, is a youth-driven, artist-first music streaming platform. Both AudioMac and SoundCloud let smaller creators share their music and build audience right from each platform. Then we also have Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, and YouTube Music offering some of the world's biggest music catalogs. With the premium subscription, you can listen to unlimited songs ad-free. Various deals help make some of these platforms a huge success. For example, a YouTube premium subscription provides complimentary access to YouTube Music. Also, there are student discounts and a lot of other things, right? Even the work card works at some of these apps. So there are a lot of other ways where you can get yourself benefited. I'm not surprised. Spotify takes the number one spot in the US. And as mentioned in the report, the app is used 1.6 times more than Apple Music. Coming to the TV streaming point of view, Apple TV Plus has more of a quality over quantity approach compared to the other major streaming services like Hulu, Netflix, Prime Video, Disney Plus, and HBO Max. Alongside Apple, these are also considered as the top streaming apps on the App Store. And they offer endless amount of content. HBO Max is still new to the streaming game, but jam-packed with blockbuster content, right? Netflix, Hulu, and Prime Video have also been around the longest and reign supreme in the US. Netflix is used 17 times more than Apple TV. Despite of Apple TV having like the originals, when you talk about Netflix originals versus the Apple TV originals, Apple TV has had more Golden Globe nominations and Oscar nominations and probably won more awards compared to the Netflix original content. But despite of that, Netflix is used 17 times more than Apple TV Plus subscription. Tubi TV, owned by Fox, offers a selection of over 35,000 movies and TV shows on demand in HD completely for free. While it is interesting to see a slew of third-party apps outperform Apple, it's not that surprising, to be honest. And it's not that surprising because the competitive price that these apps have, but it's also because of the loyalty that we've had towards these apps. See, if I give you my example, I started using Spotify when I was 14. I'm 24 now. So I don't think I'm going to switch an app just to save a couple cents every month because I've been with the same app for the past 10 years. And it may sound wrong for all different reasons, but that's honest, right? When you get comfortable to something, it's very hard for you to gonna make that switch. I also know a lot of people who would still listen to music on YouTube rather than using an audio streaming platform because it's something that they've been using for a very long time and you don't really want to step out of your comfort zone, right? In recent years, the role of big tech in shaping options for developers, content creators, and users in digital spaces has become a hotly debated topic. In this study that was focused on the Apple's App Store, a lot of questions came into picture, and one of the most important questions was, how have the options for developers and content creators to reach consumers changed over time? How have these App Store and the ecosystem grown to such a massive extent? And what does this growth even reflect? What role do third-party apps play on the App Store? To answer these questions, Apple conducted research on the digital markets, analyzed the App Store ecosystem, reviewed the areas in which Apple offers its own apps, investigate the availability of third-party alternatives to Apple apps for iPhone users. And after the enormous amount of research and study and analysis that Apple did, to summarize it for you, large technology companies besides Apple offer consumers popular and well-regarded options in many app categories and have done so for a very long time. These apps, as well as those offered by more specialized companies, are often many times more popular than Apple's app of the same type. It is very likely that these large companies' apps will continue to remain popular options for users in the future also. But considering the commission model that Apple has been working on, it's not really going to affect Apple's revenue. And even if it does, it's just going to affect up to 2 to 5%. Now, for a trillion-dollar company, 2 to 5% decline in revenue is huge for us because it's going to be in billions and billions of dollars. But it's a trillion-dollar company at the end of the day, and considering the exciting purchases or the exciting product launches that Apple is going to have, from Apple Car to, say, the AR headset that has been in discussion, the AR-VR headset that has been in discussion for years now, Apple is not really going to be affected by the revenue on a bigger picture and probably would face the dent with much pride. What are your views about it? Do you think after Elon Musk started this entire thingy or the cold war that is going on between them, has it led to a place where Apple is forced to remove a lot of popular apps? Or has Apple gotten into a place where it is just envious of the third-party apps earning way more than Apple's original apps and hence creating this entire problem? Do share your views with us. I've added our social media links in the description below. Please follow iGeek's blog. And if you want to connect with me, you know where to find me, Harshanki with an extra eye on Instagram. All right, folks, this is all from my side. It's going to be a long week for us because I'm going to see you after Christmas. So I'm wishing you a very, 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 very Merry Christmas. And I hope you're spending your Christmas with your family in a nice, cozy place and just having a good time here. Don't forget to send your Christmas pictures with us. And also, if you'd like for me to talk on a particular topic or cover a particular product, please do write an email to us. I'm going to see you guys next week with more exciting content, probably testing a product live. A lot of exciting things for you, so don't forget to tune into the iGeeks blog show. This is Ashanki signing off. Take care, stay hydrated, and sayonara.